Could this be autism is the theme of this session. I've been working in this area for over 40 years, and I'm going to pass on some of the new bits of information that we've picked up from research, but also from clinical experience. And one of the things we're looking at is, how early on can you pick up autism? Well, we seem to have three developmental trajectories. The first is a child who is different from early on. They may have been premature. There may have been difficulties during pregnancy or the birth, low birth weight. There can be reflux problems, sleep problems, epilepsy, and a whole range of factors that means that that child is of medical concern, and then maybe at 18 months or so, confirmed autism. But they're a concern from early on. Now, for the second group, autism emerges slowly, but it does emerge. There's a developmental plateau. The child initially seems to be achieving skills, but the rate of progress slows down. We'll explore that in a moment. The third trajectory is one in four who actually lose skills. Between 14 and 24 months, they may lose vocabulary, social interest, and imaginative play. And parents watch over days or weeks that child seem to retreat into a world of their own. Now, we look at the second pathway, developmental plateau. Autism emerges slowly. So at 6 months, there's nothing much you could say that was that different about that child. But as you can see by the graph, the rate of progress is starting to slow down, but is still continuing. And parents are thinking, well, he'll catch up one day. By about 12 months, there's a significant gap, but it's not sufficient to say there's developmental delay or a particular pattern emerging. But by 18 months to 2 years, yes, there's developmental delay and the autism profile. Now, let's have a look at that in a bit more depth. So at 12 months, less likely to respond when his or her name is called. And that is the essential part of ASD, is understanding people. What is my definition of ASD? Someone who has found in life something more interesting than socializing. And this is apparent from early on. Newborn infants look more at the human face than any other geometric shape. But this particular child isn't showing as much interest in the social world as you'd expect. Now, fewer gestures than typical children. And this is one of the problems with ASD, that those who don't develop speech do not replace a lack of speech by a rich gestural communication as occurs in children who are deaf. So it seems there's a major problem in communication, not only with speech, but body language too. Understands fewer phrases, so there's language delay occurring, and difficulties in disengagement from visual attention. They find something absolutely fascinating, from fingerprints to blades of grass or whatever it may be, and just totally fixated by the color, the symmetry, the patterns. In ASD, you're looking for patterns, and sometimes with visual acuity equivalent to eagles. So you spot those fascinating components of someone's hair is actually like strings of spaghetti. That's absolutely fascinating for that person. And looking at others less frequently, they're not important in your life. In fact, they're quite intrusive and stop you doing what you'd like to do. And if they're going to look at your face, they may look at your mouth, not your eyes. And your mouth, to try and work out how you speak and how your mouth moves to help that child actually learn to speak. So often looking at the person's mouth rather than the eyes. And that's a lifelong problem. I was working with a couple, husband's got Asperger's syndrome, wife hasn't. And she's concerned that in interactions, he doesn't seem to give as much eye contact as she would like. And she was encouraging him, with our help, to look at her eyes. He was getting on well. And she was congratulating him on how lovely it is to see his beautiful eyes in the conversation. And he looks at her eyes so well now. And he said, yeah, but I don't know which eye to look at. And that gives you some idea. I can look, but can't read. It's like a typical kid Just because he looks at books doesn't mean he can read the words accurately. Just because they look at faces doesn't mean to say they read faces. Now, by 12 months, there's differences on almost every scale of development. By about 2 to 3 months, but that's still within the normal range, but the gap is getting wider. So global developmental delay and macrocephaly, larger head circumference. Some of the kids I see, the notes say 3 years old, or 2 years old, say 2 years old. But in comes a kid the height of a three-year-old with a larger head circumference and a larger brain in 1 in 4 cases. Why? Don't know. Now, if you don't know, you don't know. I can't fake it. We just don't know. Bigger brains. Diminished eye contact, also diminished social engagement. In other words, finding solitude okay. It's being alone, not lonely, and hate being interrupted and want to explore the world yourself. As one mum said, he's in a world of his own, and I'm not invited into that world. So there's a limited interest in social games and turn-taking activities, preference for solitude, and now visual attention is more fascinated by objects than people, especially the symmetry of train tracks with the sleepers and parallel lines and so on, and all the carriages behind each other. Now there's a limited range of facial expression. The face seems very blank. This is why when I see those with Asperger's and I say, well, sometimes there's Asperger's in my wife's side of the family, and we have a son with Asperger's. And you have the phrase, smile for the camera, and the Asperger person goes, and anybody else looking would think, constipated? And they say, how can I make my face look happy when I don't feel happy? And the face can be quite blank. There's less sharing of affect, smiling and looking at others. Unusual hand and finger mannerisms can emerge with an interest in the patterns that are occurring, walking on tiptoes. All these features exist in the ordinary population. You will see little preschoolers toe walking, and as soon as mum turns around, they stop. So none of the features are unique. Sometimes typical kids want to play by themselves, thank you very much. That's why when our granddaughter was born a year ago, of course I was watching. And of course if she looked away, she may have autism. You know, she looked away. No, she was overloaded. She's only 3 months old. She's got too much going on and she's pulling back. She's not autistic. Difficulty adapting to new situations and coping with a change of routine. Variety is not the spice of life. And you go to the shops twice this particular way, right, that's it, that's for the shops. If you go a different route, you're not going to the shops, then that person hits the panic button. As a teenager said, when asked, what's your definition of hell? He said, surprises. Okay, that makes Christmas, with its socializing, its emotions, and surprising, not necessarily an enjoyable experience. Now, 12 to 24 months, interest in visually repetitive phenomena, such as ceiling fans and tumble dryers and spinning. It seems to be there's an absolute mesmerizing fascination, an unusual attachment to an object. Not a teddy bear, which is soft and squidgy and round and reminds you of mum, but it's a battery because it's useful and you cuddle a battery because you need it for your toys and so on. So, and communicative acts are disproportionately, I want that, rather than, oh, look at the aeroplane, let's share the moment together. Pointing things out because we'll find them interesting and share them. And less likely to indicate, look at me, and bring an object to an adult for joint interest. So in other words, you're starting to live a life alone, be quite content by that. And when others try and engage you, you may resist that engagement. There are unusual sensory interests, from spinning things to sniffing feet, legs, hair, food, and you seem to be exploring the world by sensory qualities rather than necessarily imaginative or constructive play. Oh, afraid of some everyday sounds. We now know this is lifelong. What the adults do is try and avoid them more successfully, or they just cope with the sound of the hairdryer, the vacuum cleaner, dogs barking, sharp noises, smells, hating teachers, not because they don't like the teacher, it's her perfume, or the clothes that she wears, and the sensory world. Some of the kids avoid the playground, not because of the social, but because of the kids shouting to each other and running fast and can knock into you. And I ask them, which teachers do you like and not like? I hate teachers who shout. And shouting is something that's abhorrent. And eats a very limited range of food because of sensory sensitivity, and overreactive to tickling, which is that tactile sensitivity. There's limited imitative play, copying mum and dad, and either, well, often, overactive, which can be for a variety of reasons, from ADHD, anxiety making you restless, can't keep still, a form of akathisia, or you are seeking sensory experience, and uncooperative. It's what I call the Frank Sinatra my way, and will only do it my way. And a lack of interest in other children, because they're boring and stupid, and adults are intelligent and help you. So, extremes of temperament. Yes, this can be a lifelong problem. Hits the panic button and explodes, especially the girls with ASD. Huge explosion. But they can't be consoled by affection or distraction easily. You just got to wait till the storm goes naturally. Now, less imaginative or pretend play that is shared with others, less complex babbling and word production, so language delays apparent, and delay in receptive and expressive language, that means the first person to see that child may be a speech pathologist. Is he deaf? Because he doesn't respond when his name's called, and so on. The next group we call regressive, and they seem to be progressing as well as we can tell, we now know that, by watching home movies. Families have filmed that kid almost every day for their whole life, and you can look back over the movies and say, spot ASD. No, you can't. He's socializing, he's engaging, all those sorts of things are occurring, and then over weeks or days, he's no longer interested in dad returning home from work, he's not interested in using his vocabulary, and instead of playing imaginatively, he lines things up and makes them symmetrical. So the play, socialization, and language can deteriorate quite significantly. Good news is, for many, that will recover, but it is one of the pathways. What's going on between 14 and 24 months, we don't know for sure. So the regression is really a broader 10 to 30 months, peak at 18, loss of previously acquired words, or stops talking, less eye contact, and lose interest in social games, being with people and parents, and the parents start to think, what did I do? Measles, mumps, rubella. Coincidental, not causal. What's happened? His brother was born. Was it that he was jealous of his brother? He had a bad cold. Was that it? We don't know. But this seems to be one of the pathways of losing skills. Now, DSM-5 is just out to diagnose autism spectrum disorders. What we'd like is a sorting hat. And we just put the sort, if you know Harry Potter. If you don't know Harry Potter, I feel sorry for you. But anyway, just put the hat on, and that's it. And I think in 20 years' time, we will have that with the neurology of ASD being identified, that there will be structural abnormalities identified in the brain. Psychologists may then progress to other things. But it seems that when we look at this stage, we don't have a mechanism that's fail-safe. Now, these are the new criterion, which I'll explain. Criterion A is persistence deficits in social communication and social interaction across contexts manifested by all three of the following. Deficits in social emotional reciprocity. What does that mean? Kid with ASD, group of kids playing over here. There's three options. One is kid thinking, I don't like it, I don't get it, I'll turn my back on them, and if they come close, I'll slug them and they'll go away. Because the person likes to be alone, because if you share, you lose control. More on that later. But it's splendid isolation. Or, instead of being shy, introverted, and involved in your own activity, they go, over, right, that's it, you do that, no, you do that, and they stand that far away, and they are too intrusive and intense. And they dominate. and they don't give the signals that others will say, has he finished, as he walks off, because he doesn't say farewell or anything, or plays wrestling outside the classroom when you shouldn't really do that. And this can occur then with the adults who can upset other people by standing too close, dominating conversation, and intensive and intrusive. Or you're a girl with ASD. Girls are smarter and more creative and intelligent in how they cope, because they go, wow, isn't that interesting? Who's popular? Rebecca. Right. I don't get it, but Rebecca does, so I'll become Rebecca. I want to be called Rebecca. I'll wear what she's wearing. I will play those games. I will observe. I will analyze. And I will imitate. And when I imitate, I'll either win an Oscar or become a psychologist. Because you've been observing and analyzing people since you were 3 years old. Yes, there are some famous and colleagues I know with psychologists who are Aspie. Yeah. What I would want in the future is psychotherapy designed by Aspies for Aspies, conducted by Aspies. Okay. Right. So it's that reciprocity. It's nonverbal communication. It's the ability to read body language. It's the ability to express body language. But it's also the ability to find the words to describe feelings. One person maybe asked with ASD later years, when that event occurred, what were you feeling? What were you thinking? I don't know. Come on, you can tell me every dinosaur in the Jurassic period. What were you thinking or feeling when you hit him? I don't know. Come on, you must know. I don't know. You're being obtuse. I'll now complete their sentence. I don't know how to grasp the many thoughts and emotions swirling in my head, hold one, identify it, label it, and communicate in speech so that you will understand. So they say, I don't know. One of their greatest difficulties is converting thought and emotion to speech. There's also a difficulty developing and understanding and maintaining relationships. And it goes from those who don't want to interact to those who do desperately. How do I make friends? Or the teenage boys, how do I get a girlfriend? Can I buy one? No, it's illegal, you know, and all those sorts of things. But it's looking for relationships. And those with Asperger's do get relationships, oh yes. Because one of the causes is genetics. And if somebody didn't fall in love with an Aspie, it would have died out years ago. So the person who's likely to fall in love with an Aspie is often someone from the caring professions. You didn't know that when you did your training in the caring professions, one of the occupational hazards is falling in love with an Aspie. Yes. Because you're talented in reading the inner message. It's seeing the heart, not the behavior. So I say to the teenagers with Aspie, the boys, if you're not popular with the girls, don't worry. Wait till girls are in their mid-20s when they get maternal, then they'll fall in love with you. So other components can be difficulties sharing imaginative play. Now, this is important because some of those with ASD have a very rich, vivid, enjoyable imagination, but it's not shared. Sometimes the imagination is so appealing, it's better than real life. So they are literally off talking to the fairies or with imaginary friends. Now, criterion B is restricted repetitive patterns of behavior, at least two of the following. Repetitive motor movements, that's that signature flap, the rock, the actions that sometimes the mannerisms clearly indicate autism. There's that signature movement profile as much as there's a signature language profile. So it can be lining things up, looking at things from a certain perspective, symmetry, flipping objects, spinning them, and so on. Now, insistence on sameness, inflexible adherence to routines or ritualized patterns of behavior, or excessive resistance to change. Interesting. Sameness, routines and rituals. I think this is actually a behavioral coping mechanism for high levels of anxiety. We know neurologically that those with ASD in a part of the brain called the amygdala are prone to high levels of anxiety. Routines, rituals, sameness, not coping with change, are all adaptations for high levels of anxiety. So the treatment really is for an anxiety disorder. So there can be extreme distress at small changes. Why? New situations are fraught with failure, sensory sensitivity, not being able to cope or understand, so you want sameness and predictability. And your special interest is a thought blocker to stop the intrusive, anxious thoughts. So, criterion B, unusual interests. Lots of kids like Thomas the Tank Engine, but he knows every engine off by heart and holds them. Or a fascination with drain covers. I had no idea how artistic drain covers are and how they vary all over the world until people with Asperger's taught me that. And so I would just come back from Europe and I was in various places. I think I was in Poland, and I thought, wow, what a fascinating drain cover. And I just sat sort of there going, whoa, look at that. When we look at the causes, remember, it's infectious. The more you live with or work with ASD people, the more ASD you become. If you can't beat them, join them. So, when we look at this, there seems to be an intense attachment to objects. Again, it's something that seems to be non-personal. It's the texture of that object. And the interests are unusual in intensity. Lots of girls like horses, but she's just moved her mattress into the stable. Or it's very unusual for anyone to be interested in that topic. We had one four-year-old who knew all the different types of grass and could just look at a blade of grass, he was four, and tell you what type of grass it was. Now, hyper or hyperreactivity to sensory input. This is one of the first times, or that really, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual has included and legitimized sensory sensitivity. It's one of the first signs we look for in infancy, the startle reaction that doesn't diminish by habituation or experience. And throughout their life, there are certain sounds, aromas, and textures that are unpleasant. And some adults will say, in answer to the question, which fragment of ASD, if we could, would you like us to remove? Many will say, sensory sensitivity. And what do you do that means you can cope with it? Because I can't see how you do. You don't put your fingers in your ear. You don't rock to self-soothe, but you seem to be able to cope with it. What are you doing? Now, that can be a sensitivity to sounds, touch, etc., but sometimes a lack of sensitivity to pain and temperature, and sometimes a thirst or a searching for sensory experience. So now, when we do the assessments, we will assess social development, language. We will also assess sensory sensitivity, because sometimes challenging behavior is escape behavior to get away from an overloading environment. Worst environments, supermarkets, because they are designed for a sensory explosion, or shopping malls. And you learn, don't take kids with autism shopping. It's going to be a disaster. Now, in DSM-5, criterion C, symptoms must be present in the early developmental period, but may not become fully manifest until social demands exceed limited capacities or may be masked by learned strategies later in life. Yeah, that taps in. Two, classic autism diagnosed between 2 and 4 years. Asperger's in boys, 4 to 8 years. Asperger's in girls, teenage years and adult years. Because they can fake it, they can imitate, they can observe and analyze and be a goody two shoes and not be noticed at primary school. Socializing is relatively easy, they're interesting, and they may have one friend who's an unpaid teacher aide in the classroom. In return, the Aspie girl is not bitchy, very kind, good friend. And this girl scripts her, guides her, repairs her. But if this girl, typical girl that befriends her, moves into state, she's no idea what to do. But when it gets to the secondary school, the high school level, that person is overwhelmed by the changes of puberty, the changes of friendship, the schoolwork, etc., and the wheel falls off. People with Asperger's can socialize very well, eventually, by intellectual effort, which is exhausting. So some Asperger's adults, for 2 to 3 hours, can be the life and soul of the party. But next day, social migraine, under the covers, in the cupboard, that's it. Nobody must see that. But for 2 hours, I made it. I was successful. But when there are changes and too much stress, the wheels fall off. So there can be learned strategies in later in life of imitation and support from key people. Criterion D is clinically significant impairment in social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. And that's important because at what point do you draw the line? And yes, we're involved in diagnosis, but I'm involved in something new, which is contentious. Saw a boy when he was 7 years old, been diagnosed by the pediatrician as Asperger's. I saw him absolutely, no doubt. My involvement was to teach him social skills and friendship skills for school over a 2-year period. 9 years old, lost contact, which is usually a good sign because I normally get them coming back if there's a problem, but no sign of him. He's 19 years old now, and his mum phones me up and says, could you help? He's done really well, but for so long, he wanted to become a police officer. He was so keen on being a police officer, he went to all the first aid courses, watched all the TV's cop shows and all those sorts of things, totally dead set on it. But he's Aspie, he's honest, and on the application for the Queensland Police Force, he wrote that he has Asperger's. They then immediately wrote back, more or less saying, how dare you suggest that someone with Asperger's could be a police officer? Interesting, because you'd have to dismiss about 15% of the police force. Because they're excellent in the vice squad, because they're incorruptible, but they usually end up in traffic, very pedantic. But she said, this is totally catastrophic news. He's got no plans for the future. Can you guide him where to go now? So I saw him and we sat and chatted. And as we were chatting, I thought, where's the Asperger's gone? I'm chatting to a 19-year-old. I thought, all right. So I did a reassessment. We now have new tools to quantify the nature of Asperger's and the depth of Asperger's in adults. And a score of 65 and above confirms the diagnosis. Yeah, and his score was 42. Ha! So he was below the threshold. So I wrote a letter to the police department saying, the signs were apparent in his childhood. He has grown out of those signs. It is now subclinical. Please assess his suitability for the police force on the basis of any citizen of that age applying. And he got in. Yeah. Wow. However, a few weeks later, I got a letter from him saying, Tony, thanks for the support. I got into the police force. Didn't like it. He said, but I've just joined the Navy and it's great and I'm on the radar systems and all those sorts of things. So the Asperger's hasn't totally disappeared, but he's learnt many of the skills that were thought impossible years ago. Good support, good job, etc., are very important. Now, criterion E, it's not intellectual disability or global developmental delay. In other words, it's a distinct pattern. The concern is anyone with a social confusion or lack of social understanding, the assumption is, must be autism. No, there's a very distinct profile. People can have social confusion for many reasons other than autism. Now, you must specify with or without intellectual impairment. Now, for these guys, I strongly recommend an IQ test when they are 6, 7, 8 years old. Yes, there may be an issue, is their intellectual disability as well. But for those for whom they're attending an ordinary school, I want to know their IQ profile for their learning profile. Some are visualizers. They learn by demonstration and iPads and computer programs. Others are verbalizers, and they have a remarkable ability to learn by reading and have a fantastic vocabulary and information. They have problems with processing time. It takes them ages to get their act together to reply because they're too thorough. rather than, shall we say, they take too much time to consider the answer. So, with or without accompanying language impairment, there is a language profile, speech pathologists may assess that, and whether it's associated with any known medical, often epilepsy, or genetic condition or environmental factor, there's a high link with autoimmune disorders as well, and genetic factors, because in half the cases we see, it runs in families where we meet mum and dad, greater chance than expected of dad to be engineer, accountant, information technology, and mum in the caring professions. Yes. And so for some, it does go through the family characteristics. Also associated with another neurodevelopmental or mental or behavior disorder, anxiety disorders, and so on. And catatonia, we're only just starting to discover this, but in the teen years and slightly above, they may have freezing of movements, not schizophrenia, but movement disturbance. Now, I'm just gonna check time. Oh, I'm okay, good. Now, what you've got to do is specify severity level. Gone is the word Asperger's syndrome. I don't agree with losing it because I think it had value for many reasons. However, what's happening now is you're supposed to put ASD levels 1, 2, and 3. 3 is classic autism, high support. 2, substantial support and requiring support is 1. But they haven't really defined what that is. So I now write in reports, ASD level 1, brackets, Asperger's syndrome. Because people know about Asperger's. You can't remove it from conversation. The books are on Asperger's syndrome. Teachers and parents will know what Asperger's is. So they can't remove it. But why they had to, I don't know. They don't like eponymous, named after people, diagnostic groups. But anyway, that's what it is. ASD level 1 is, brackets, the old Asperger's syndrome. So when we look at the components of a diagnostic assessment, ASD, criterion A, it's that reciprocity, that balance. It's nonverbal social communication of reading social cues. I describe, because I've just come back from Europe, I can now say this with some conviction, they're like French drivers, no, Italian drivers. Because I've been to Athens, Paris, and Rome, the worst of Paris. They're like French drivers. You see, as I look at you guys, French drivers don't observe traffic signals. They park wherever they want. They park on pedestrian crossings. They break the speed limit. They expect an extra tip because they broke the speed limit and so on. So I describe those with ASD, like French drivers, they don't read the signals. That's why I am here looking at you guys in the front, because your faces are traffic lights. If you nod and smile, green light, I keep going. If you're confused, amber light, slow down, France, speed up, and explain. Red light, angry, I'd stop. But these kids don't see the no tailgating signs and invade your personal body space. They don't see the woman at work signs and keep interrupting. So they don't read the signals. If they don't get a formal diagnosis, they'll get a moral diagnosis. So what I'm saying is that they need to learn the social communication, the codes of conduct, and so on. And that's our role, is to teach them how to understand humans. And why they do these weird things and trying to understand how to make friends and get on with other people. And some can be successful in that process. So there's a whole new generation coming through who seem to have much greater skills. So the next one is repetitive speech, movements of mannerisms or uses of objects. That's more classic autism. Routines and rituals, and if you change that, there's a panic attack. Also, unusual interest that may be a source of employment. And that's why when I go to universities, I play the game of spot the Aspie. Because universities are social workshops, such as sheltered workshops for the socially challenged. So I find that, and you actually get paid for your special interest. So that can be a distinct advantage. And also, unusual sensory sensitivity, that we're starting to explore how life for those with ASD is very difficult. I call them as my heroes. because they're having to cope with social understanding, communication skills. And the problem is, when you teach, it's a social conversational context. These kids were much better 100 years ago. You sat on your own and you remembered facts from the teacher. Now you work in groups and the teacher relates to you. So life is tough for the Aspies. Where were they in Europe 1,000 years ago? In the monasteries, enjoying the monastic routine lifestyle. So we now expect a much greater degree of socialization. And my view in ASD, sometimes journalists will say those who suffer from ASD. Now, ASD doesn't give you stomach cramps or pain in the joints, but you can suffer because of the attitude and ignorance of other people. And my biggest concern is not ASD, it's bullying and teasing. And when I explore what's going through the mind of those who are depressed, I find out, no, those thoughts, those beliefs didn't come from your parents, they didn't come from teachers, they came from other kids. The tragedy is you believe them, did not have friends to contradict them, and because it was said so often, that became your way of viewing yourself. But in many ways, the most significant advances in science and art have been made by Aspies. We actually need their characteristics. Because when we say to think outside the box, those with ASD say, what box? And have solutions. Okay, I think I've come to an end. Okay, thank you.